Everyone is Papa's Basement, so weirdly named because my name is John Papa Giorgio, and I am here today with not only my lovely co-hosts Eva and Michael, but a special guest, DC comedy scene fixture for a long time now, very old
Yeah,
amount of
there we
years,
go.
Pete Bergen. Yeah.
Yay!
What is up,
Woo!
Pete?
Hi, John. Thanks for having me. Hi, Eva. Hi, Michael.
Hi.
I like when people bring me on stage like that. He's a veteran. He's been around a long time. Give it up
So
for him before
long.
he's got to get back to the home and drink his Ensure. Yeah.
So long. Statistically improbable that it hasn't happened for him yet, but it has. I'm kidding. Sorry, that was me.
You always tell me how statistically improbable it is that I'll ever have a baby because of how old I am.
Well, yeah. That and the years of substance abuse, Eva.
That's true.
Eva, how old are you? You look like you're 30.
Well, thank you. Oh my goodness.
I mean, your
Eva's.
avatar on my phone, which is really small, probably not in person, but.
I'll be 36 in less than a month.
Oh, you could have a kid. It'd be cool how it came out. Let's, yeah, roll the dice.
Put down. Yeah. Big fan of Life Goes On, Pete.
Yeah.
So right now we're kind of waiting for Michael to come back on. I have no clue what's happening on that front.
Where is he?
I don't know. He's making it all about him, even when he's not here.
Maybe he's doing one of his toilet musings.
Really?
Yeah.
Well,
Writing whilst pooping.
he does love doing that. Pete, I gotta ask you, man, since you've been, you do stand up, you do improv, and you're out more nights than not, what the
Right.
hell have you been doing to fill the void?
Seriously,
So
seriously.
it's hard to because I don't live alone. So it's finding play. I live in a condo, like a co-op, so 16 units. So it's just like finding places to like jerk off mostly.
Okay.
Like in prison.
Yeah, it's a no. It is tough because like outside of like comedy. Or even teaching stuff or whatever. My job for a long time was bartending 5 nights a week. So this home every night thing, it is, it's hard. It's hard. I'm out of shit to talk about.
Right.
Oh, hold on. Michael's back. Now we have something to talk about. The big return of Michael Johnson. Michael, are you there?
Yeah, I could hear you guys, but you couldn't hear me.
I think you and Pete are like getting together to do this bit where you're
Well, he's
saying you
sitting
can't
right
hear.
next to me.
Yeah.
You've broken all social
Just
distancing.
put yeah, just put it on speaker, Pete.
It is on
Okay.
speaker. Yeah.
Are you guys holding hands?
I am the little spoon, which is weird because you wouldn't think it to look at us, but he is.
It's fun to switch off.
He's a cuddle. I want to be held sometimes.
Yeah.
Now, are the legs against each other, or is Michael wrapped around you like a backpack?
Scissored.
Scissored.
I'm just gently moving towards his butthole.
And I'm giving that slight arch that says keep going.
That inviting arch.
I like how after all this time, Michael still has to dance around his desires. You guys still keep it seductive.
Yeah. That you have to.
Well, I mean, where else do you have to go from there after,
After the anus?
after the
Yeah.
anus? Yeah.
You build to it. You don't lead off with
I
that.
guess that's what, I guess that's when people start pissing and shitting on each other, huh?
Is that sex to you, Michael? Once you've blown a load, it's off play.
It's like
No, to Michael, that's intimacy.
it's
It's
like
pissing
the
and
first time I have sex with someone, and afterwards I'm just like, I guess I'm taking a dump on you next time, huh?
Straight to 11.
Yeah, this is not gonna happen for me again.
This a normal podcast?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. What?
So we were just asking
Normally
Pete.
we talk about cooking.
Yeah, we talk about cooking and DIY projects. No, we were just asking Pete. He's such a night owl, being out all the time, and doing stand up and teaching, and now he's in all the time. And I feel like Michael, you're sort of the same way. You're
Yeah.
usually out at night.
Yeah, I come back from work, and as soon as I walk in the door, I pretty much am like, I guess I go to bed. And then I'll wake up at like 9:30 or 10 and not be able to get back to sleep, and I'll fall asleep till like I'll fall asleep around midnight or one again, and then wake up at like 3 or 4, and that's been my sleep routine for the past how long this has been going on.
You're keeping class gerbil hours.
Yeah, basically. Speaking of,
are you sucking down a hot butt?
Am I what?
Is someone smoking? I can hear someone breathing.
Oh, no. I thought about going outside and doing that, but I figured the background noise would be too much. But
I got chastised the last episode for doing that.
Thoroughly, I might add.
Yeah.
Thoroughly.
Yeah, it seems like a real professional operation. Don't do that, Michael.
Yeah, right. Right as John was given a dirty Sanchez in his store.
Third date.
And then he, so...
I knew plenty of Catholic girls that went straight to the butt.
Really?
Yeah.
On their guys?
Yeah, they pegged them on the first date. They call that confirmation.
I guess, I mean, in a way, you keep, well, like one person keeps their virginity, so.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you're getting banged with a fake penis, does that count?
No.
I remember
that's why all lesbians die virgins, Michael.
I remember my phys ed teacher and I had that conversation a lot.
Really?
This doesn't count as screwing you, Michael.
This is what are called laps.
Michael, you're supposed to be doing the rope pull.
Yeah.
The rope climb.
Michael did the rope pull by loading the rope up his ass and pulling it out.
Ta-da! That's also how I failed my physical for the Marines, so. They're like, you score high on your test, but we need our rope back.
But it is how you landed your job with the Universe Soul Circus.
Have we chased Pete away, or is he just kind of...
No, I'm here. I don't have enough experience. I mean, I had my own experience with the rope in gym class. Like, I definitely got to O-Town climbing it, and I feel like...
Did you really? Like
1,000,000%, and I'm gonna be honest. So I was up there, and I was like, I had the tingle and the dingle, and I was like... And then when I guess you don't come at that age, but like I
maybe
definitely
for you.
Yeah. Maybe.
I was blowing loads.
The teacher, as an adult now, I think like the teacher had to be looking up and seeing me just like, like holding the rope and shivering and then coming back down and
Your teacher was having an orgasm?
I wasn't paying attention to him. He might have.
Get down from there. Get down. Get down. Slide right on my face.
All I wanted to do was climb anything that I had to wrap my legs around after that.
I want to admit that right here, it seems like a good place for it. I was
a safe space.
I was caught rubbing on my chair in fifth grade by my teacher.
There I was caught were. Rubbing on the laundry room door by my parents.
I had a split in my shorts, and I don't know, however fidgety, you know, a kid is, all, you know, one couple of moments back and forth, and I'm like, oh, that feels good. I'm going to keep doing that. And then my teacher has like this group. I'm like sitting right behind the group that she has around this table that is reading, and I just hear, Michael. And I look back, and my body is just on fire.
Oh my god!
And I first off, this teacher as well was like one of my. She's like one of my all time favorites. Even when I was like, even
you always remember your first.
Oh, she was hot. I saw her in my like 20s at a restaurant I worked at, and she was still hot. And the first thing that went through my mind is like. Does she look at me as that kid that she caught fucking his chair in the middle of class?
This sounds like a great lead-in, like a nice head-turning moment, like if you did a storytelling show about the biggest case of blue balls you ever got. I was in the fifth grade when my teacher stopped me from getting to O-Town while I gyrated on a chair.
And it segues into the biggest boner he ever got when he saw right. 20 years later at the restaurant.
Yeah.
But he definitely went home and thought about masturbating to it, but definitely went home and just found another chair for old time's sake.
Yeah.
She was like, Michael.
And Michael, she 100% remembers that.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure she yeah. does. Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, she approached me after class and was just like, look, we can take care of this, you know, during recess if you want. And I was like, what do you mean? Like indoor recess? No, thanks. I'm getting outside.
Oh, my God.
So
I'm just.
So, John, do you have like topics written down or is this. Do you have like an outline?
Masturbating in grammar school.
Yeah, it's a technique I call circling the toilet. And we're there. We're just doing it right now. No, before we jump on, I just want to say my rope in gym class experience was being so fat that I would just jump on the bottom of the rope and have to swing like a pendulum for an appropriate amount of time before I could just admit to everyone that I wouldn't get a single, you know, inch off the ground and then jump off.
So,
I'm jealous of you, Pete.
Oh, thanks.
That you made it to the top and you got a boner.
Wasn't an O-Town a band?
Yeah, yes. I think it was a boy band.
O-Town was a boy band.
Just below 98 degrees.
Yes, they sang Calculus. U plus me equals us.
Wow. Oh, damn, wait, were they fictitious?
They were a fictitious band.
Farley's yeah. brothers in it.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, it was like a...
Oh, okay.
Who is sipping on the microphone?
Not I. I'm betting it's Johnson.
Jesus. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that would be me.
Yeah.
Monster.
I think we were going to talk about lies our parents mm-hmm. told us.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Pete's yeah. got a good story with what movie was it that your mother wrote a letter to the editor?
I mean, that's not a lie. That is a true story. But
I want to hear it. What movie? Gone with the Wind.
No, it was.
They liked living that way.
I was home, and I had a babysitter, and I would imagine my sister, who's 11 months older than me, was home as well. But it's not relevant to the story. But I guess while they were gone, I was home with the babysitter. I saw a preview for the movie When a Stranger Calls.
Okay,
if you remember that movie, it's a movie about a murderer who, you know, keeps terrorizing the babysitter. Have you checked on the children? Mm-hmm. Apparently, when my parents came home, I was so freaked out. I had like gone upstairs and like I was like under the bed and or under blankets and like shivering and sweating and crying because I was so scared. Way too old for that, by the way. I was in fifth or sixth grade.
I was home from college.
So, my mom, God love her, as she did, she wrote a very nice letter to the editor of the Washington Post, which got printed. Right, which is fine. Maybe it affects some change, but then some of the piece of shit parents, maybe some piece of shit parents that of the other kids that I went to school with were like, "Hey, Tom, come over here. Do you go to school with this pussy?" So I wound up getting so fucking bullied for an article that a fifth grader would have no business reading. Clearly, his parents showed it to him.
What did the letter say though?
Just about how they should not have that sort of like content that scares children so much on during hours when children will be up. And I still have it. I'll send it to you. I posted that on my Instagram page a while back.
And then after that, that's when the Washington Post ran sort of like a movement to get the, what we now know as prime time delineation in late night programs. No, I know.
Yeah, it's like, you know, yeah, my mom.
They called him Susan Prime B. Time Anthony. Pete.
Yeah.
His family's also responsible for Nielsen ratings.
Right.
My mom got him to change it from, they got to change from X to NC-17. That was my mom also.
Wow.
God bless her. She really did affect you.
Your mom wiped the cum off the movie screen. Literally.
Yes. Absolutely.
So that's not a lie. That's a truth.
That is a true story.
That's a true story. Well, what about the lies you told to your friend about
this is some other queer name he
Yeah. Relive more adolescent and preteen trauma.
I remember once me and my mom were driving past my elementary school and Papa's elementary school, John's elementary school, GBW, Greenbrier
West.
For the
record, we did not have any sex chairs at this school. Sorry, Michael.
We didn't.
I wouldn't have been able to make it through.
Yeah, you wouldn't. It would have been tough. And we were driving by and some kids started throwing rocks at my mom's car.
What?
And she got so pissed.
Was this because she was black?
Was she near the pool? Because that's a different thing.
No, she was near. So I remember.
You guys are going to get me Shane Gillis. I'm going to blow up.
That is a reoccurring theme on our podcast.
Oh my.
Yeah, how, I didn't yeah, say how we're so inappropriate. No, we, my mom pulled over, got out, and like screamed at them and chased them away. And I remember being so livid at her and embarrassed because I recognized them from school, from like the intermediate school from Rocky Run up the street. And I thought that they were going to like beat me up or something. And now that I'm older, I would 100% do that if someone threw a rock at my car.
We used to, me and my friend used to hang out and we would get like these small like crab apples off trees and just get like piles and piles of them and just peg cars with them as they drove by. And one time, I guess we hit the car of like some kids who are 19 or 20 and they did the smart thing where they didn't hit their brake lights. They didn't do anything. They kept going, but they probably drove around the block like 8 blocks later. And then they snuck up behind us while we were there and just like manhandled us, threw us on the ground and made us eat the crab apples we had in a pile to throw at more cars.
Oh, that could have gone so much dirtier.
Yeah. Yeah. And then the guy fucking dropped his nutsack in my mouth and said, "You want to fucking play with something? Play with these nuts."
And then they basketball diarrhea you.
Yeah.
Wait, Eva, I want to know, why did these kids hate your mother so much?
No, everyone loves my mom. They were doing it to every car.
Oh, okay.
And no one and no one, you know, had the galls to stop. But Pam Kress, she does not get a rock thrown at her. I think it was a red Toyota freaking station wagon at the time, and she loved that car.
Mom is like that woman in Three Billboards outside of Ebbing. What was the actor's name?
Oh, Francis
Gordon. Yeah, when they throw a can of milk on her car and she goes, "Actually, you throw that?" And he goes, "No." And she just kicks him in the nuts.
Yeah. Oh, that's 100% my mom. 100%.
Nice. What was the... Yeah. Oh, wait. This wasn't the lie, though, that your mother told.
Oh, no. The lie that I was telling you guys is when I...
This is the lie that your mother construed for you to tell.
the lie I told you guys yesterday.
She's like, "This was a boring ride home. Tell you what, when we get inside..."
Tell your father.
I was going to say, Pete's lie is that he left out the part where the kids passed him and used his ass for a crab apple holder. But...
No, the lie that my dad told me that I told you guys was he traveled sometimes when we were kids. And I remember he went to Boston.
Oh, that's right.
And he came back and told me he hung out with New Kids on the Block.
Now, how long, like, were you like a huge fan of him at the time?
Oh, huge. I was 6 years old. I was a huge fan. So
this had even more like mystic, you know, proportions to it. Like it must have.
Oh my God.
It's like Santa Claus almost.
Yeah. Oh my. And I couldn't believe that like these cool boy band guys would hang out with my dad. And like there was a point of pride, but also like, how dare you, you know, not bring me to Boston with you? And I was so mad at him for years.
He let it go for years.
And then he still laughs about it now. And Papa said it best that he was like, "Your parents raised you with like a twinge of sarcasm and cruelty all the time."
That is awesome.
Yeah. His best line for my brother about his peewee baseball that was he made up for his poor hitting with his lack of speed.
Your dad was like this snarky sports writer for your brother.
Meow.
He's like, It's like he's the only little leaguer that had to listen to a version of sports talk radio on the way home.
He was both the caller and the host. Right.
That is so like, oh, caller, where are you? I'm in the back seat. No. Go ahead, Eva.
Michael, what's a lie you got?
Mine, there were a couple. So when you told that one over text today, it made me think of my mother. I can remember exactly where we were. I was going over my Christmas list as we were turning into the mall. And I was probably like 5 or 6. And she just turns to me and she goes, Michael, you know, mommy has to write Santa a check at the end of Christmas. And I was like, oh, really? And it kind of like part of me was like, oh, that makes sense. I mean, I don't know.
Sure. Right.
And the other one that I remember is that I can't remember what it was exactly, but I was going to my brother's basketball game and I was going to play outside while they were playing their game. And it was at I had wanted to wear this.
Where are you, Michael? Your audio's breaking
sort
up.
Sort of like can't. I'm in my place. I wanted to wear like this camouflage jacket, and she talked me into wearing a big white winter snow coat. And I was like, but I'm going to be outside and we're going to be like running around, like hide and seek or playing war or something. And she's like, Michael, when at night, you're less visible if you wear white. And I was like, and I believed that for years. I just thought it was like some optical illusion that it was like, I remember telling my friends this, and they're like, what are you fucking talking about?
No, guys, no. Guess what?
No, seriously. You can't see me.
They're like, then why in the cartoons and TV shows we watch are the burglars all dressed in black?
Because they're fucking idiot criminals. I'd be a criminal mastermind.
No, you wear white. You wear white. They can't see you. I swear.
I don't remember. I mean, I think I believe that into my
teenage. Oh, my God.
Teenage Michael drinking. Hold on, guys.
I know there are some more because my parents are very similar to Eva's.
I'm trying to think of some too, but like other than like God is real, like there's nothing like any real. There's no like real.
Oh, story. My parents found out that a friend of mine cheated on her 12th grade community service project, and as a joke, they left a message on her answering machine when they knew that she wouldn't be home. She like lived up the street from us, posing as Frederick News Post reporters that had heard about her project and wanted to interview her for it. And the next day at school, she was freaking out.
They're like, well, I'll tell you one goddamn thing.
I'll tell you one goddamn thing.
We want to interview you.
I wanted the story to end with, she killed herself.
She tried to get me back. I know she did something, and I was like, "That was all my
she
parents."
She gave you your first drink. That's what she did.
Right, exactly.
I remember my dad picking me up from the airport when I got back from rehab, and having like I went to rehab to quit drinking. I didn't know I was going to quit everything.
I know.
I wanted
they spring that on you. When
I know. I just wanted to find a way to use cocaine manageably.
Right.
Wait, there's not a rehab that teaches that?
No, they frown against it. But my dad, who had his own bounce, growing up, we didn't see it as alcoholism. Of course, everybody has travelers when they get in the car, and their group of friends is named the PTA, the part-time alcoholics. But like, it was just so funny. He picked me up from rehab. And then asked if we wanted to stop. He goes, do you want to stop and get a drink? I'm like, no, that's over. Like, I'm not allowed to do that anymore. Yeah. The answer is always yes. I want to.
Yeah, of course.
Right. I think I tweeted that today. I go, for those people who still can drink and use drugs manageably, if you're not right now to excess, what the hell is wrong with you? Like,
seriously, I don't get it. Yeah. Like, if you're not like drinking at 9 a.m. and it's not a problem for you, if you're not like obsessing about it constantly, like, why aren't you?
Yeah,
like, full advantage of
I'm unemployed. I would just sit here and pound alcohol and blow lines until, like, you know, until I ran out, because you have to use it all or else it goes bad.
Yeah.
What was your drink, Pete?
It depends. Like, if I was at work, I would just drink beer all night. But if I went out, I would want to, like, ramp up. So I would probably do, like, anywhere between 5 and 10 shots of warm vodka and just, like, pile drive them in, like, a couple of minutes just to get just to chip off the night before. And then I would drink.
Got to get rid of the shakes.
Yeah. Gotta, then I would just like drink a couple beers. I would always pick up my drugs a little bit after 7, and it would be weird because right before 7 it was Pavlovian. I had to take a huge shit. So then I would buy my drugs, and then that would pretty much be the end of conversation with either customers or anybody I was hanging out with, because I never did maintenance bumps. I was like, yeah, I'm going to go do this whole bag and then probably go do it again later.
Just rails of it.
Well, it just sucks because people would see me out. They're like, Pete from Chadwick's bartender. I'm like, yeah. But I'm like, if I'm already in the bag, you're not getting anything but like clenched teeth and like nodding and like, yeah.
Yeah, you just reminded me how much, like, going from the bathroom back into the party, where I would just be like, when can I go back to the bathroom?
Yeah. When I was really getting into it, I looked at a roommate that I was living with at the time, and, like, literally, like, over, it was a ZZ Top CD, because it was at the end of the row, it was very accessible, and
it was probably one of the jobs.
And I said,
He loves the top.
I was realizing, like, we never went out anymore. I was like, how come we don't go out? We should go out. We should be sociable. And, like, he's, like, got, like, the straw in his nose over the line, and he, like, lifts his head up just barely. He goes, this isn't a social drug. And then went back and, like, ricked it up. I was like, oh, all right, cool. 3 more seasons of FIFA soccer. Anyway, and then, and Michael knows this, I tell this at recovery shows, I go, because the gift of rationalization is so prevalent for addicts, I go, here's how fucked up I was. I go, I would do an 8-ball, a bottle of Grand Marnier, 10 beers, 5 shots of vodka, I go, and 2 packs of cigarettes. But then when I would come home at 3 a.m, knowing I wasn't going to sleep until God knows when, I would just drink bottles of red wine, because that's good for your heart.
Did you take a baby aspirin?
No, I just sat there and just scoffed at the newspaper delivery guy when he showed up judging me. Why is that guy always out here wearing an apron?
He must be a baker.
That's why he's up so early.
Yeah, he's going to work. He hasn't been home for 4 hours waiting for his penis to get hard again, which won't happen because he did too much cocaine.
He's got flour all over his face.
Yeah. where do you do recovery shows?
At recovery events.
I was gonna ask where you do blow.
Yeah.
But...
Yeah. they're real fun. Because you can do a lot of shows where actually there is a website called recoverycomedy.com. But it's like it's just a real home game. There's no judgment. You can do jokes that wouldn't play in a regular room.
Right.
Yeah. So it's I like doing them.
Hey, Pete, is are you comfortable telling the Dasani water bottle
story? Yeah, I don't care. I love that story. Nice. Michael likes the story more than I do, I think. But I do a joke sometimes about the red flags that you're doing too much cocaine, and it builds and builds. And like the button is the last 3 girls I slept with before I went to rehab. Within a week of sleeping with me, they went to rehab. I go, so like if you're everybody else's bottom, if people are waking up next to you going, fuck, I need to change everything, you're doing too much cocaine. I go, but that's actually not true. There was a girl, like, because very early out of rehab, I realized that a very target-rich environment to hook up with girls was at parties where there was a lot of cocaine. Because guys would sniff themselves out of the game, and girls would want to sniff and make out. So I would just, like, circle, like, the waters a little bit, find the weak one in the herd, and
the weak one at the watering hole.
Just somebody with some self-esteem issues, maybe some childhood trauma, something I could manipulate. And sure. So what is that noise?
Michael.
It's Michael. Probably making dinner. Making dinner.
Michael's running some water through some pie tins.
Jesus. No, I'm just unwrapping tinfoil.
Sorry, go ahead.
So I find this young girl. God, that sounded bad. I find this. She was 12.
She was a runaway.
I saw her in a Walmart parking lot, and I said, "Get in." No,
I knew you, Pete.
No, I seen her. She'd actually come to the bars working at a time, and we pair up, and I give what I feel is a good effort for a one night stand. We're talking 20, 25 minutes, lots of position changes, good oral. All that stuff. But then I finish.
You sound like a porn producer.
Yeah. I had it all. I gave it all. So I finish, and she's like, "Are you done?" And I go, "Yeah, I'm done." And I'm still well over 300 pounds at this point. I'm like, "I'm done." It's like 5 a.m. I'm not doing drugs anymore. I'm done.
Right.
And she's like, done? I'm like, "Yeah, I'm fucking 31 years old, 300 pounds, like maybe a nap and a sandwich and we can do this, but like, yeah, that's all you're getting." she gets up and begins to like go through dresser drawers and look for something. She's frantically looking for something. And then she spots this half drank bottle of Dasani water on the headboard, which she like with some pace reaches for, takes the top off, just pours the water out on the floor, and then lays down on her back and just rifles the bottle, like, right in her box. And she's looking at me like, "Is this hot?" And I'm just like, I was scared and terrified and kind of grossed out all at once. And I was like, I just left. Like, that's the last time I've seen her. But I do know, like, 2 days later, she went to rehab. So she probably woke up with that water bottle hanging out of her and thought, "You know what? Something's not right." So I'm making the world a better place.
Oh, my God.
And if there was ever an advertisement,
my brothers love that. Occasionally, water, sometimes I'll be out and I'll see a bottle of it, and I'll just take a picture of it and text it to them.
Oh my God!
Yeah. Well, shit, we should come out on that.
Yeah,
Pete, man, thank you for joining. And now that every podcast is just done via apps, and there's no getting together in any sort of space, we can do this whenever again.
Yeah.
I'd love to. I'd also love to do it in person. I mean, it sounds like fun. Let's get Joe.
I forgot that was a note. This was going to be my final bit. I was going to have you say something mean about him, and then I was going to have you say something nice, but then bump you from the call when you started saying that. But I don't think the app will say that. So just say the mean part.
I think Joe and I are very similar, so I can play that tape in my own head about how I would feel, and it would keep me up for a week.
Yeah. No, we asked him to join last week, and he just wasn't up for it. Yeah.
What else? He wanted to fucking play drums and
smoke weed.
Yeah, that was a semi-annual invite, so that'll be circling back around Halloweenish. Pete, thanks again, man. And if anyone wants to follow you and send you photos of Dasani water bottles, they can do that where on social media?
Twitter and Instagram is the same handle. It's at Petey Bergen, PETEYBERGEN. All that stuff's all available.
Cool. At Bergen. All right. Well, everyone, thank you for joining. Are you all right, Michael?
Word. Thank you. Yeah, I had
all right, buddy.
My stuff in my throat.
Yeah, it's called the chair.
I have a here.
The chair and your teacher.
It's the chair.
It's a 30-minute callback. You guys are welcome on that one.
Yeah. All right, Eva.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You don't look a day over 35.
Of course.
All right.
Thank you. All right, bye, guys.
Bye, thanks.